Father, we come before you and submit this time into your hands, asking you to work, that you would teach us, you would help us, and that our faith and trust in you would continue to grow day by day. Praise you for each one that is here and the homes that they represent. And I know that life is tough. And oftentimes it seems unfair. And sometimes our faith is undermined and we're shaken. And we need to be reminded from time to time of who you are, how big you are, that we can trust in your arms, rest in your hands when our worlds are falling apart. I pray that we will see that again today and that you would help us to be true to you through it all. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. I don't know how many of you, from time to time, feel like you ought to just throw in the
towel. Take this job and shove it. I ain't working here no more.
That was only going to be short because I wouldn't want you to start going like this, you know, before. But life is tough. And sometimes we begin to ask questions. And you really think there's a God? And the answer is, somebody's out to get me. And so life can be pretty hard sometimes. And we need to be reminded. Here's a quote. Let's see if you can remember who this quote is from. Don't quit, suffer now, and live the rest of your life as a champion. Anybody know who that was? He just died. Muhammad Ali. I'm going to change it a little bit. Don't quit. Suffer now and live your eternal life as a champion. Because life can be tough. Life can be hard. And oftentimes in churches and revivals and tent meetings and all of this, sometimes one of the things that we never touch on is how tough life can be. When life seems just to be unfair. I'm going to ask you to take your Bibles and go with me to the book of Jeremiah. We've been walking our way through the book of Jeremiah, and we've come to chapter 15. And this morning I want us to be able to see and to realize that when the cards of life seem stacked against me, when the cards of life seem stacked against you, trust the dealer. Because God's in control. Yeah, and he's dealing. He's passing out the cards. And some of them are hard. And as we've been going through the book of Jeremiah, we found that he has found that to be true. He was called as a young man. God had separated him from the womb of his mother and put him in charge to minister to the children of Israel. He would be the last prophet they would hear before Nebuchadnezzar comes to town and kills and destroys and takes captive. It's God's last opportunity for the people to respond and to change and to turn back to him. And Jeremiah, I really believe, at the young age of whatever he was, 16 to 20, when he began to go out into the world and to preach to the people, I think he went out with great gusto. I believed he thought in his heart that maybe God would use him to change the lives of people. But nobody listened. Nobody listened. In fact, I think it was in chapter 11, we found that even his relatives, his own family, wanted to kill him. They were so against him. So against his zeal for God. So against his devotion to God. So against his desire to see people change their lives, to be restored to him. They were so much against him that even his own family wanted to kill him. And so Jeremiah is just down in the dumps. He's known as the weeping prophet. And I think he wept not only for the people, but I think he wept also because of life. You ever had one of those sleepless nights? When you're beginning to wonder, why doesn't God answer my prayers? You've prayed, you've pleaded, and you've begged, you've promised. How do we handle life when that doesn't happen? How about when we're We're having to pay the consequences of other people's sins. It happens. Innocent, God-fearing individuals sometimes have to suffer because of the sins of other individuals. How do you handle that? You know you're innocent. You don't deserve this. It's they that ought to be getting judged. So how do we handle it when God's not answering my prayers and I'm suffering from the stupidity and the sins and of everybody else? And then I'm not rewarded. Nobody acknowledges the sacrifices, the time, the zeal. So how do we handle life when this happens? And don't tell me it doesn't. It happens in the secular world when you're out there and you're trying to be a light at work or a light at school and you're praying, you're asking God for guidance, and it doesn't seem like he's answering. And you're having to suffer the consequences of people there, your people that you work with, the people you go to school with, and you're trying your best, you're making sacrifices, and you don't get recognized, you don't get acknowledged, you don't get praised, you don't. How do you handle all of that? It happens in church with God-fearing people. And there's times in life when we're trying to do our very best and nobody seems to even know and acknowledge or care. That's what we're going to be talking about tonight, or this morning. It may be that, no, we're not going to go that long. But the first thing I want us to see is, what do we do when God doesn't answer prayer? In chapter 15, if you remember when we ended chapter 14, Nehemiah was praying, and praying hard. He's discouraged. And when we get to chapter 15, we read this, verse 1. Then the Lord said to me, even if Moses and Samuel stood before me, my mind would not be favorable towards these people. Cast them out of my sight. Let them go forth. Now, Jeremiah has been praying. He knows destruction is coming. Nebuchadnezzar has already begun to show his strength and show his force, and he's going to bust through those walls, and he's going to bring wrath on the people. And God says, listen, Jeremiah, listen. I sent you to these people because they've crossed the line. I have been after them. I have been working in their lives. I have been trying to get their attention. I've been trying to show them their need for me, and they will not listen. And even if you were able to resurrect Moses and Samuel, I would not listen. We got this idea that God is this loving God that just, he doesn't care how we live our lives. He just smiles and winks and says, no big deal. But there's a line in the sand where God's patience wears thin. We need to know that. And some of us seem to think that, well, we just got to get a few more people praying. And so here's a little comic I put together, and we think God's this big boulder. And we'll get every prayer chain going. We'll make the phone calls. We'll get everybody. We just know that if we get enough people praying, we can get enough leverage that we can move this rock. And God says, listen, Jeremiah, I don't care who you get praying right now. I will not hear. So how do we handle that? You know, one of the things that we need to remember when we're discouraged and we're struggling and we're wanting to see change in people's lives, we got to remember that God is far more patient than we are. And there's a reason why he is patient. There's a reason why he hasn't brought the wrath on sinful man previous. It's a good thing he doesn't give us what we deserve immediately, don't you think? How patient has he been with me? Day after day, year after year. Well, he's patient with those folks too that you're getting tired of. But we're told in the New Testament, he says, or do you show contempt for the riches and the kindness and the forbearance and the patience, not really realizing that God's kindness is meant for a purpose? What is that purpose? Intended to lead you to repentance. You might be one of those individuals this morning that God's trying to get your attention. He may have been working on you and working on you and working on you, and who knows what he's done in your life to try to get your attention, and he hasn't got it yet, and you seem to think you're okay. But listen, God's patience and forbearance, his love and his grace, there's a line in the sand, and the only reason he's given it to you now is he's hoping that you'll realize how kind and gracious and patient and loving he is, and you will come to him and respond. Now, so many people think it's a license, and they can just continue on. But if you're here this morning and he's been trying to get your attention, don't cross the line. Respond to him. And we tend to think that if God doesn't execute judgment right away, we've got the freedom and the liberty just to continue to live as we want. And so because the sentence against evil is not executed speedily, the heart of the children of man is fully set to do evil. We've got to remember, just because he's been patient doesn't mean he's okay. And Jeremiah's forgotten that. I mean, God is patient with these people. He had been patient. He had been trying for year after year, prophet after prophet, trying to get their attention, trying to woo them back to him. But no, they're set on enjoying life and doing it their way. And so Jeremiah's discouraged. And God has just said there in those first 9 verses, they've crossed the line, Jeremiah. They've crossed the line. The second thing we find in this passage is Jeremiah realizes that he's suffering a little bit from what the people have done. He's been the righteous man. I mean, he's been the righteous prophet. He's trying to be the light to the world. He's trying to do what is right and honoring to God. And we find in this chapter he's discouraged. Look at verse 10. Woe is me, my mother, that you have borne me, a man of strife, a man of contention to the whole earth. The world hates him. His family hates him. What's he done wrong? Nothing. He's just trying to be the man that God's called him to be. He's just trying to do the job that God called him to do. He's just trying to be the servant that God asked him to be, and nobody appreciates him. He's getting all this strife. His own family wants to kill him. He's ready to throw the towel in. Woe is me. Drop down to verse 13. Your wealth and your treasures I will give as plunder without price because of all the sins throughout your territories. I will make you cross over with your enemies into the land which you do not know. For a fire is kindled in my anger which shall burn upon you. Jeremiah is part of the repercussions here, and he's having to suffer because of the sins of rebellious Israel, or the sins of others. But he's in a bad spot. And somehow we have this idea that God is obligated, aren't we? Life can be tough. I mean, this morning, to give you an example, took 3 vehicles to get here, so Brenda and I were going to drive the old 95 Toyota. And it's time to go. She's got to be here at 8:30 for the praise band, and so we walk out there. The tire is flat, so I got to pump the tire up, put the key in it. The battery's dead. So I, it's life, isn't it? I was so frustrated, I didn't even put my suit coat on. That's not true. I'm being a little bit rebellious, but life sometimes, those are little things, aren't they? And sometimes those little things really start to... And we've got this idea that, you know, once you become a Christian and you get God on your side, it's going to get better. No, sometimes it gets worse. And you know why I think sometimes it gets worse? I'm not so sure that it really does get worse, but I think why we think it gets worse is because we really believe that God is obligated to make life easy. After all, look what I've done. I've become his child. I go to church. I read my Bible. We ask the blessing before we eat. I try to live a decent life. And therefore, he's obligated. I mean, look what I'm doing for him. He's not obligated, folks. He's been far more gracious to all of us than any of us deserve. But because we tend to think That God's this rock that we ought to be able to move to make life easy, and he doesn't move, we get discouraged. And Jeremiah's there. He's dealing with that. And we need to realize we're not the only ones that have had to suffer because of the sins of others. We need to trust him. Because the Lord Jesus Christ, God became man. And he went to the cross of Calvary, not because of his sins, but because of yours. He suffered. Spotless lamb. A sinless sacrifice. And he didn't do this without agony. He said, God, Father, if there be any other way to save these rascals, then let's do it. But there was no other way. The only way that he could rescue you from sin, the only way that he could promise you eternal life, the only way that he could bring peace between you and God again was to sacrifice himself. He knows what it is to suffer because of the sins of others. Now, Jeremiah didn't know that story completely, but we do. We do. So how do we handle life when God doesn't seem to answer our prayers? How do we handle life when we're having to suffer because of the sins of others? And then how do we handle life when we're not being recognized for what we do, sacrifices that we make, when people don't appreciate? How do we handle that? Well, the last part of this chapter really deals with that, and Jeremiah is. He's discouraged. In verse 15, he says, "Oh Lord, you know. Remember me. Visit me. Take vengeance for me on my persecutors. In the enduring patience, do not take me away. Know that for your sake I have suffered rebuke." Jeremiah's having a tough time. He's not being rewarded. He's not being greeted. Shook his hand or shaking his hands. Verse 16, "For your words were found and I ate them. And your word was to me the joy and the rejoicing of my heart. For I am calling by your name, O Lord God of hosts. I did not sit in the assembly of the mockers, nor did I rejoice. I sat alone because of your hand. For you have filled me with indignation. Why is my pain perpetual and my wound incurable, which refuses to be healed? Will you surely be to me like an unreliable stream, as waters that fall or fail?" Jeremiah just feels like God's a million miles away. And after all he's done, the sacrifices he's made, and the things that he's done, God, where are you? Have you left me forever? Just because you become a child of God, just because you go into ministry, just because you sing in the praise band or the choir or teach Sunday school, somehow that puts you in a bubble that protects you from life and disappointment and hardships. We live in a world of sin, and we live with the consequences of sin. And that's why God has done what he's done. And being willing to send his son to die for our sins, that we could have life in him and peace in him. But folks, it takes a lot of trust. This road that he's paved for us is not easy. And far too many of us believe that it is, and it's not. If we start with Genesis and work our way through Revelation, can any of you name one individual, one great Bible hero that had it easy? They didn't. And if God's greats didn't find life easy, what makes me think that God is obligated to give me a break? If I was to compare my life with Jeremiah, if you were to compare your life with Jeremiah, here's this guy that starts out as a young teenager going into the ministry to bring honor and glory to God, to reach the world, and nobody listens to him, and he's doing it for 40 years. And no one came up to him and patted him on the back and shook his hand and said, "Jeremiah, what a great message. Nobody did. Nobody came up to Jeremiah and said, Jeremiah, I've been watching you and the sacrifices that you've made, the time that you've given. There's not many people that would do that. I just want you to know that I really appreciate what you're doing. He didn't get that. They didn't have a prophet appreciation day. They didn't have that. And so Jeremiah is just at this point where God doesn't seem to answer his prayers, and he's been told that even if he gets Moses and Samuel to join him, God's not going to listen. These people have crossed the line. Jeremiah's at a point where he's suffering because of the wrongs and the sins of others. And Jeremiah's living at a time when he's getting a little discouraged because nobody really appreciates what he's doing. Oh, there's plenty to criticize, plenty to complain, plenty to tell you how you ought to do the job. He's been there. He's done that. So have some of you. You know, my guess is that a congregation our size, there's some of you that are not involved today because of this. Some of you, at one point, at time, you were probably involved in ministry, involved in a church, and very active, but somehow you got burned. You didn't feel like God was answering your prayers. You had to suffer from the sins of others, and you weren't appreciated, and you threw the towel in. And maybe some of you right here in ministry now, in our church or some other church, and you're at this point, and you're ready to throw the towel in. That's where Jeremiah's at. He's not going to throw the towel in, by the way. And this isn't this isn't the bottom. As we go through this book later on, we're going to find that he gets lower still. Because he's really discouraged. God has called me, he's called you to be faithful, regardless. There are a number of us here that could share sleepless nights where we laid there wrestling with life. Our pillows became wet from the tears. Struggling and wrestling with God, trying to understand life, trying to understand why life is doing what it's doing. We need to be faithful, no matter. And Joshua, remember when he led these people to the promised land? He reminded them. He said, now when you get over there and you get a taste of the good life, when you start eating from vineyards that you didn't plant, when you start drinking from wells that you didn't dig, when you start living in homes that you didn't build, when you get into the promised land and you begin to enjoy the luxury and the plenty of life, don't forget him. But they did. They got caught up in life, got caught up in the busyness of just life and all of that, and God got set off to the side, and he's trying to get their attention, 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 and they're not listening. But Joshua said, folks, you make the decision for yourself. All of us have to. I can't make the decision for you. You can't make it for me, but I want you to know that as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. That's hard. You know, when you're sitting next to friends and family, sitting in a church the size of ours, and to be able to say, I don't really care about anybody else here right now. God, I want you to know that if nobody else in this building, if nobody else in this congregation, if none of my friends, none of my family, none of my acquaintances, if none of them follow you, God, I want you to know I'm going to. But if you do, life will be lonely. Because most don't. Most don't. And so as you try, and then you start getting discouraged because it doesn't seem like God's answering your prayers. When you're being affected by those around you and the sins of others, and no one seems to appreciate what you're doing, the sacrifices that you're making, the time that you're given, it's hard. It's hard. Anybody know who this gal is? She's in your bulletin. Johnny Erickson Tata, young lady that enjoyed life. At the age of 18, took a dive into a lake and broke her neck and was a quadriplegic from that point forward to this day. I think that was 67 when she did it. I'm going to make her older than she really is. But in 1967, she became a quadriplegic. You can read her books, listen to her on radio. I'll bet you there's not very many mornings, even though she's been a quadriplegic all these years, I'll bet you there's not very many mornings when she wakes up and she doesn't struggle. She ain't getting out of bed unless somebody helps her. She ain't getting dressed. She ain't getting to the bathroom. Life's not been easy for Johnny. I'm sure she's asked lots of questions, lots of struggles. But she makes this statement. She says, suffering provides the gym equipment on which my faith can be exercised. Folks, our faith isn't recognized when everything's going my way. It doesn't take a lot of faith to serve the Lord when everybody's praising you and shaking your hand and patting you on the back and all of it. It doesn't take a lot of faith. You're motivated by that. It doesn't take a lot of faith when you seem to be in a bubble and everybody else is suffering from the sins of the world, but you're shielded. It doesn't take a lot of faith. It doesn't take a lot of faith when your answers are being prayer. I mean, it's like you've got a magic coupon that takes you straight to God and he just automatically waves his magic wand and everything's going your way. It doesn't take a lot of faith. But when your prayers aren't getting answered the way you want them to be answered and you're having to suffer because of the stupidity of others and no one really appreciates what you're doing, it takes a lot of faith to keep going. To know that one day, it will be worth it all. Another one of Johnny's quotes. A broken heart leads to the true contentment of asking less of this life because more is coming in the next. Which life are you living for? Let's be honest. Which life are you living for? Well, if you're living for this life and things aren't going well, you're going to get pretty discouraged. You'll be down in the dumps. You'll throw in the towel. But if you're living for the next life, there's something inside you, a faith, a trust that helps you to keep going because you know it will be worth it all. So, when you're thinking of throwing in the towel, take a deep breath and say, God, I know you're in control. Help me to learn from this lesson. And take that towel and use it to wipe off the blood, the sweat, and the tears. And keep going. Keep going. Would you bow with me in a word of prayer? All heads bowed and all eyes closed. I think this is for all of us. I don't know where you are this morning. Some of you may not know the Lord Jesus Christ yet. You may not be one of his children. And yet life's not been easy for you. Well, it may be that God's been trying to get your attention. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son to save people like us. To give us forgiveness, to give us eternal life, but we must accept that gift and respond to him. So if you're here this morning, you don't know him, then I would just ask you to talk to him right where you are. Just tell him that you need him. Tell him that you recognize that you're a sinner and that you have failed him and you want to be forgiven and you know that Jesus Christ is your only hope. And place your trust in him and become his child. But I know that a great percentage of us claim to be believers. many of us feel like we've been burned. God didn't answer our prayers. We had to suffer because of the sins and the stupidity of others. Nobody appreciated all that you were doing. And so you threw the towel in. It's time to pick up that towel and to start all over again. There may be some of you thinking of throwing the towel in right now, and I hope that God has spoke to you and encouraged you and helped you to realize that it takes a lot of faith, a lot of trust, but with His help, we can do this. If you're here this morning and you'd like me just to remember you in prayer, would you just raise your hand up and write back down that I might remember you in prayer this morning? Anyone? Good, 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 good. Amen. Good. Father, thank you for today and for allowing us to look at one of your servants who knows what it is to be discouraged, knows what it is to have been tempted to throw in the towel. And each of us can get into that situation in life. Each of us can be tempted to quit, and many of us may have already done so because of what we've read and looked at in Jeremiah's life. And I pray that we can renew ourselves. We can reestablish that faith and that trust in you, and we can take that towel and dust ourselves off and get back rolling. I would ask that you would minister to us, and for those who have raised their hands, and I'm sure that there are others, that you would just put your arms around them and help them to sense your presence, and may they be encouraged by your word and the promises that are found. For you have promised your children that you would never leave them nor forsake them. You have promised your children that all things work together for good for those who love you, who are called according to your purpose. Help us to believe that. You have told us not to become weary in well-doing. Help our faith, for it is small. Strengthen us, empower us, equip us to be the light to the world in these days in which we live. Because it is very likely that if we think things are bad now and it's wearing us down, what are we going to do when it really gets bad? Help our faith. Lord, help us. Be with us now as we sing this hymn that just reminds us that you are all we really need. For we pray in Jesus' name, amen.